Remember the feeling of rushing home from school, tossing your backpack on the floor, and turning on the TV just in time for the afternoon block of cartoons? Way back when life was all about schoolyard rivalries and making it home before the streetlights came on? Well, what if those Saturday morning vibes collided with an action-packed sci-fi adventure? In the new comic, The Ruth Avenue Raiders, the best, and let's be honest, the cockiest elementary school football team on Ruth Ave is about to face a defensive line unlike anything they've ever seen. We're talking interdimensional robots from Sector 7. When these kids are challenged to a match where the stakes are way higher than just bragging rights, they realize their old playbook won't save them. It's a hilarious, action-packed story about friendship, teamwork, and learning to step out of your comfort zone, all before the sun goes down. If you know a young reader looking for a new graphic novel, or if you grew up on the heart of Hey Arnold, the playground politics of Recess, or the what-could-go-wrong energy of Dexter's Lab, this is the book you've been waiting for. It's The Sandlot Meets Transformers, created by Mad Cave Studios Talent Search winner Damian Becton and artist Marina Otegua Ruiz. The Ruth Avenue Raiders is now live on Kickstarter, and you do not want to miss the kickoff. Head over to www.ruthavenueraiders.com right now to secure your copy of The Ruth Avenue Raiders, only available until June 24th. By joining the squad early, you'll stay in the loop and get access to exclusive early bird rewards and updates that won't be available anywhere else. That's www.ruthavenueraiders.com. Help us bring this 90s-inspired adventure to life. Win or go Chrome.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And we're coming to you live from a couple of places on the internet. We're live on Facebook, YouTube, LinkedIn, Twitch, Instagram. Maybe you're listening to us later, wherever you get your podcasts. We're on all platforms all the time. And if so, if you want ad-free versions of this podcast and all the podcasts we do, patreon.com/comicbookclub. And in fact, once a month, we give a shout-out to our Patreon listeners.
Shouties.
We're doing that at the end of the show, giving them a little bit of a thank you there if you missed that. We changed it up a little bit last month. We're going to keep with that since that seemed to work nicely. We give a big thank you to everybody who supports us at any level. We'll be giving a shout-out to folks at the $5 and up at the end of the show. But I want to get into it because we got an exciting, fun, very different show today.
Oh,
we are guestless.
Just your CBC boys hanging out, talking about
their DC. I don't
like
when Alex is excited.
I am excited because we previously, a couple of months back, did our best Marvel live action TV shows. And one of the things we talked about at the end is, oh, we should do the same thing with DC. That's exactly what we're doing tonight. We're going to be doing our best DC live action TV shows, our top five lists. And I'm going to lay out some, we made some very broad, very general rules. And then I do want to talk about what each of us were thinking about a list, because like with the Marvel list, I expect we were thinking different things. But basically, live action, the basic reason for that is otherwise just going to be Batman the Animated Series across the board. We wanted to make this very simple.
Boring. And I got to say, I feel like we're going to have some exciting departures from each other's ideas in this episode.
Oh, boy.
But it just needs to be a live action TV series that actually aired. I don't believe we had any unaired pilots on here or anything like that.
No. I looked at them.
Yeah,
I wanted to submit Batman the Animated Series, but you guys shot that down.
Actually not live action is an interesting thing about it. But we, other than that, that was pretty much it. There was no, like, it needs to be this thing or in these years or anything like that. We all had our own take on what best meant the last time, and they were very different because some of us... Well, I don't want to spoil it since I assume we were looking under similar criteria this time. But like, Justin, Pete, what were you looking about?
What were you thinking about?
Look like when you did it? Were you dressed up?
Were you similar to right now?
I was
fully
like this.
Nude?
I was like, no, I can't. How do I decide?
I will say this was surprisingly hard. I thought this was going to be easy for some reason getting into it, but... I felt pretty set on my
top three. I texted you guys
to
be like, I want a bigger list. This is too hard. And you guys
I think I was pretty set on my top three. And then I spent the past week or so just switching around absolutely everything else every day I was like, no, that's not it. No, maybe not. No. I asked my wife, and she's like, I don't care. Leave me alone. Yeah. So whatever it ended up with, maybe I'll change my mind tomorrow.
Your wife was like, I hate you. Please stop this.
But I'll mention, I was sort of thinking about the same kind of things as the last time, which for me, best show is over the course of the run. How does it weigh out is something that I think about a lot. There's a lot of shows that had fantastic first seasons, but if every other season was medium to bad, that weighs it down a lot. On the other hand, if you have something that is just one season that's really good, that probably gives it a little bit of an advantage. So I don't know.
Plus, there's things to factor in, like did this kind of like launch, you know, the DC kind of superhero show. Did a show like, I don't know, maybe Arrow really kind of set tone for all those to come afterwards. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I will say, I'm going to give a shout out. I'm going to say this right now to get this out of the way. One thing I felt bad about putting together the list, and this is not on my list, and maybe people are going to tune out immediately, is I don't have Batman 66 or Wonder Woman 76, the Linda Carter Wonder Woman, I think it was 76, list. None of this would have been possible without them, but I also didn't really watch those shows that much. So
oh
I didn't
my God,
feel,
are you serious?
Seriously, yeah. I mean, I've seen them here and there, but like, they're not something that I watched all the way through or anything, so I didn't feel comfortable judging them on the same level of something that I watched 8 seasons of.
Wow.
Well, yeah, I mean, same.
Sounds like you didn't do enough research to be making a list.
Oh, good. So we'll see when they show up on your list, right, Pete?
Yeah. Hey, it's there.
Wow.
Maybe not in the top 5, but it's there.
Well, we'll see. No spoilies, okay?
No Justin. Spoilies. I was just going to say, I agree, like, slight spoilers. I also didn't have
Burgess
them on my
Meredith
list.
As a Penguin? I mean, come on. This is
Believe
classic
me,
stuff.
I love that stuff. I grew up watching that, but it didn't feel right on my list. It felt almost like an animated show.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Like it is live action, but it feels like a whole different animal. And it doesn't make sense didn't make sense to me to compare that show with the rest of the shows we're about to talk about.
Oh wow.
Yeah, and I'll also mention we said this on Discord, but in the comments, if you've got a top 5, we're going to be doing, by the way, there's a question if we're going to a joke question if we're going to do it by snake draft. The way that we're going to do it is we're going to reveal our top 5, so we're going to do 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. All 3 of our lists at the same time so we can kind of compare where things are at. And then we'll have individual slides for our top 10 so we can quickly talk through what didn't quite make the top 5. Pete, you haven't really talked about your qualifications. What were you thinking about? What was top of mind?
Well, it's also like, you know, when you think of the show, what do you think of? You know what I mean? The vibes, the feeling of it. Does it move you? Is it... you know, important in your life, you know, did episodes touch your soul, like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, stuff. Wow,
holy shit, really okay.
Jeez.
I can't wait to ask you individually on each of your picks which episode touched your soul.
Well, I'm a little nervous about how far up you are, Justin. It seems like you have this bulletproof list that you can't wait to show off.
That is not it at all. I had a trying day on all fronts. This is a lovely sip of strong red wine I'm having. It's very happy. I'm so happy to be here with my friends talking about comic book things. On television, the industry that I sort of
we're on television, really.
These shows are on television, and you know what? This is TV. These are the rectangles, Alex. This is the future. Get on board or go to bed.
Yeah, or go to bed.
And you're ready.
Those are
the
only
Emmys,
two
right?
options.
This is stuff that didn't quite make the air at Emmys, but you're hoping to get it on next year's program.
Emmys? Did you say Webbies? What are we up for?
I can't talk tonight. I don't know, because I'm too excited. So let's get into it with our best.
Oh my God, look at this
DC
graphic.
TV
this
shows.
This is a little creepy, this graphic, buddy.
There you go. It's even creepier when you see the whole thing. This is actually cropped a little bit. But this is, I
all
took
of
this
these
picture.
Characters.
Wait, it gets creepier from here? This is not a good sign.
I took this picture. I got everybody together. I took a picture. If you're listening to the audio podcast, there's Batman 66 at the front, Penguin right next to him. We got a bunch of Arrowverse folks. We got Tom Welling from Smallville.
Everyone looks deadly serious in this photo.
I just want to say
one
thing before we move on. I hope at one point someone listens to this podcast and when Justin says, or go to bed, somebody went to bed. I really hope that that happened. Like,
but so if you do,
like,
message received, and, sir.
Yeah, they were like, I was waffling on it. I wasn't sure. Yeah, I'm going
to
go.
I was going to stay up all night and listen to your podcast, but now I'm going now to I'm sleep go- and never yeah. listening again.
This podcast hits so hard at like 4 a.m. All you newfound parents out there.
Should we do this? Should we start going to our list?
Boy.
We got Pete, Justin, and Alex, our top five up here. So why don't we do
I'll
it?
I'll be Justin.
Good call, man. Good call.
Oh, this is good. This is starting off really well. We're making great choices.
I'm on best behavior for our guests. You get me on here without a guest, I'm done. Wow. I'm cooked and
wow,
sorry.
This
you
is a different Justin. This is a different JT Sizz that I'm used to.
All right, here we go. Let's do this. Let's kick this off with our number five picks, and I'll read them off, and then we can talk about them individually so the folks can get what we're talking about on the audio podcast. Here's our number five picks. Ready and go.
Oh, yeah. Come on.
All right. So for Pete, number five pick is Arrow. Justin, number five pick
called
is the 1990s The Flash.
90s Flash game.
90s Flash. And for me, number five is Sweet Tooth from Netflix. Pete, you're first in the list.
Wait, sorry. He said 90s Flash, and I almost did a spit take there. Are you fucking serious? The 90s Flash is your number five?
Serious. Hell yeah. That's the real
shit. Does that mean the other Flash is before this? You had two Flashes on your list?
I guess we'll see.
Wow, dude. That is crazy.
The Flash family.
Well, since Pete seems very focused on this, why the Flash from 1990, Justin?
Yeah, Justin.
I mean, there's what's great about the DC shows as opposed to the other list we made is there's such a breadth of time that DC live action has covered. And the Flash show was the first time I was like, wow, there can be superhero TV shows. You know, it felt real. It felt like the comic, just down to the costume design of Barry's costume in that is awesome. It's so good. Yes.
Sorry, I wanted to just see if yes, Alex had any. Zelbs, you're taking some heat from Nat Townsend on a bus. If Sweet Tooth is even DC, if that's even a legal.
That's a great
pick.
Question. It's not what we're talking about right now.
Yes,
but
we'll get to that in one second when Alex talks about his pick. You got a Sweet Tooth for Sweet Tooth, Nat Townsend, and you're going to get your fill in one second. But the Flash was the special effects. You know, now I bet we could look back and be like, that looks dumb. But there, the episode where he takes a hallucinogenic and vibrates so quickly that he falls backwards through a wall, I was like, how the fuck did they do that? And that was the first time I said the F word.
Wow. Whoa. I actually want to back you up on The Flash. I don't have it on my list anywhere, only because I haven't really watched it since it came out. But John Wesley Shipp, great as The Flash. Mark Hamill as Trickster, also great.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a really iconic series. It's something that I really have wanted to make time to watch again, but haven't. But totally back up your pick here, Justin.
And, you know, so many of these shows we're talking about are rooted in comics. And the sort of relationships mirror the comics relationships a lot. But the way that The Flash and Star Labs were sort of connected here, it's never really been done that way to my mind in comics. And it stands apart as a very unique thing for The Flash as a character. So I love this show. I would continue to watch it.
I'll talk about my pick, Sweet Tooth, just because it seems to be an area of contention. It's based on a Vertigo series. And I just thought this was a gorgeous, lovely, no pun intended, very sweet and earnest
but
series. Can you
is
let
it
me finish?
A legal pick, though, because it's technically Vertigo and
ooh,
not a
Vertigo,
part of the DC.
Which is a DC imprint? What are we talking about, Pete? What are you
I'm just saying that, you know, people are saying this is an illegal pick. And
I got bad
off
news. I got bad news. If we're not including Vertigo, my list is toast.
Right. Also, I guess Arrow, we can't include that because it's not strictly Green Arrow. It's another continuity in the comics. So actually, let's just scrap this list.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, let's scrap those.
Bold choice.
Go to sleep.
Go to bed. And that's more of a punishment than an action.
Can I, any chance that I could finish talking about Sweet Tooth, Pete? Or do you want to interrupt
wait
a bunch more times?
I can't
you
wait.
You seem to be able to wait.
Look, I'm like the kid at the recess who's too wound up, and Pete's like, oh, I'm wound up too. Yeah. And we're going to get into rock.
Jim fight. Bickle created a beautiful show here. We covered all three seasons of it, and it was very different from the comic book that Jeff Lemire created, but it captured the tone and the touching nature of it. The actors were phenomenal. Christian Convery as Sweet Tooth and Nanzo Anansi, I believe, as the big man. Wonderful relationship. Loved the extended cast. Thought it ended really nicely as well. Just a series that I was so happy with across the board. And just had some beautiful images. It's also one that I think it gets very dark, but it's one that you can really recommend to kids as well. And then say, hey, if you like that, read the comic. So it's a really good backdoor entrance into comic book reading as well. And it's one that I look forward to revisiting at some point in the future.
I definitely think it's a great show, really well cast. And I was surprised how much I liked it. So it's nice to see it on your list, even though that's an illegal show.
It's definitely
legal.
Not.
What I don't know legal what you're talking about.
And unfortunately, we don't have time to talk about your fifth pick, so why don't we move on with number
Whoa, come on, oh, dude.
What's up, Pete?
Well, I said it earlier,
but... I didn't know that was coming. This Arrow is like a hole in the list. We can't talk about it.
Arrow is a staple. It started it all. We wouldn't have Sweet Tooth. We wouldn't have so many great shows. Arrow showed us the... Power of the Salmon Ladder, you know, it did a lot of things for a lot of people. So I mean, you know, the shout out to Diggle alone is worth it.
Yeah. That's all you have to say? Wow. I see, because I don't know anything about this show. So, like, I was hoping for finally a tutorial on what happened. It went for a long time.
It did. It was also the story of two friends, you know, and it was really...
Oh, like grumpier old men?
Exactly, but in a superhero world.
When people ask you for a recommendation to Arrow, do you start with it's a story of two friends, or where do you begin?
Well, I do begin with this a story of two friends. You know, of course, that happens after he gets trapped on an island and his father sacrifices himself so he can live, but, you know.
Yeah. In fact, a lot of these shows are a story of two friends.
Yeah, Sweet Tooth especially.
Here's what I'll try to say about Arrow, if it's okay. I don't think it started everything, but it definitely started the modern age of superhero TV shows, beating Marvel by a couple of years and the Netflix shows. And it did really show how you could take... Mark Guggenheim has been very open about this. He was influenced by Batman Begins, eventually by The Dark Knight. He wanted to see how he could do that uber serious take on TV, and they nailed it. You know, the... First season, to be honest, is not my favorite, where he's basically a serial killer. Second season is excellent. The other seasons, I don't know, mileage may vary, but it led to an entire universe well before Marvel did that. It so showed people it could be done on TV, and that's continued to this day. So
let me ask you, Alex, because I should have watched more of this in my life. Do you think this holds up? If I dialed this up and put this on, you'd be like, yes, this is still... If I compare this to Wonder Man.
No, they're very different things. You know, it's a CW action series, and now you probably have a pretty fair idea of what that is, though that felt like something new at the time. But I do think it's probably, like a lot of the CW shows... They all have one really excellent season that I still think is worth checking out. Sticking with it week to week for 8 seasons or 9 seasons, I forget how many Arrow had, probably don't want to do. But if you really have the time, I always recommend it to people, like, maybe just read a quick plot synopsis of the first season because it gave me an icky feeling. Second season crushes it. It's a good action show.
It's interesting, and maybe looking back, this is like a template, like bending the superhero genre to the CW tone was such a success, and that we've gotten away from that idea of taking a superhero idea and making it like the most TV thing possible, and that's perhaps why it was this launched the whole universe that you talked about.
Riverdale is also a good example of the most TV show, too.
Yeah, I don't think you would have Riverdale, honestly, without Arrow or anything like that. But also, the other thing the CW showed us is you could run that into the ground pretty quickly by having superhero shows every single day of the week, which I was like, yeah, shove it in my mouth. But even me, I was like, this is a little too much. This is too much. This is starting to feel like a job at this point.
Turn off the hose.
Yes. Speaking of which, should we turn on the hose and
turn
go
on
to
the number four hose?
Number four hose. Here we go. Number four is kabam. Pete's is Constantine. Justin's is Doom Patrol, and mine is Gotham.
Oh, wow. Great pick, Zell.
Truly a tripod in three different directions of ideas.
Crazy different directions. This is wild. Pete, I want to hear from you first about Constantine.
Well, first off, I thought the actor who played Constantine did such a great job that, like, he got cast to do the voice in the animated show. Like, every time they tried to bring Constantine back, he was at the center of it. So I just loved him as Constantine. I thought he brought a funness to the character that sometimes you see in the cartoon, but not always. So, not the cartoon, but the comic as well as the animated show. But yeah, I loved every episode. I watched the crap out of it.
I feel crazy to say that I haven't watched either of Pete's two things so far. And I love TV.
Matt Ryan is fantastic as Constantine. It is one of those great superhero comic book castings, I think. But unfortunately, Constantine was a Vertigo comic book, so I think it's illegal and we have to take it off.
Hoisted by my own petard.
Yes. No, I would actually say it's funny that you picked Constantine because I agree with you on Matt Ryan, but I think he was better on other stuff. Like when he moved over to Legends of Tomorrow.
Oh, he was great on that.
So yeah. Good. Constantine itself, I thought, was fine as a TV show, but I'm glad it was impactful.
I love that character, though, too. So
yeah. Justin, what about Doom Patrol? Boom, boom, you're back in the Doom.
Boom,
Doom.
Boom, I never left the Doom room. This was, I mean, speaking personally, that was one of our most fun podcasts we did. I don't know, the show
was
infectious. I would
say Sweet Tooth, because we got to eat candy.
Yes, true. Maybe that's why they're all over our lists. But I think the Doom Patrol, there's something about it that was infectious, the energy of it. So many of those episodes were so weird and esoteric and chasing, going away from convention. Which is something I feel like TV shows are constantly, superhero shows specifically, are constantly chasing convention. Like I was talking about with Arrow, trying to bend into TV and reaching a larger audience. Doom Patrol almost felt like they were going the opposite direction the whole time. They embraced not only the characters, but the tone of the comic, which is also hard to do when you're translating a show like Alex's pick he's going to talk about in a second.
Wait, you've seen the list ahead of time?
No, the one it's on the screen.
Just
look slightly to the right.
Oh, I thought you were talking about his next pick. Yeah.
Pete's got those shark eyes on the side of his head, so he can only.
Yeah, exactly. Because you never know what's going under Pete. Also, Pete never stops swimming. He's in a little kiddie pool right now. But what I was going to say is they nailed it. This show exists wholly in my head. I have a T-shirt, What Would Cliff Do?, that I wear constantly still, and people are like, oh, nice. And they definitely have no idea what it is.
I'll just add on there that the Danny the Street episode from season one, I will always contend is one of the best TV episodes of all time. It is utterly fantastic. It has that stunning moment where Matt Bomer's character, Negative Man, is singing People Like Us by Kelly Clarkson at the club and becomes his true self. And just like thinking about that, I get a little choked up thinking about it. So,
yeah,
great show.
It's an amazing show.
Yeah. And Gotham, I'll be perfectly honest, this was a personal pick for me. This is part of the waffling where I was like, do I put Gotham on there? Do I not put Gotham on there?
But I would argue four's a strong showing for a maybe.
The first season of Gotham is bad. It is a bad show because it is trying to do the thing that Arrow was trying to do as well, which is be like a serious Batman show when it has all these very weird things happening around the corner. as soon as it got past being like, we should do a mob plot in the first season and killed off the mobsters, once you hit season two and they're like, nah, just kidding. Let's be crazy. It's insane. And like for the next couple of seasons, it's insane. It also features fantastic performances. Robin Lord Taylor as the Penguin is amazing. Great Penguin. Corey Michael Smith as the Riddler is amazing. Legitimately, like,
NoHo Hank got discovered in the show.
NoHo Hank is amazing. He's fantastic as Zaz. Like, all the villains are so good. And even Ben McKenzie, past the fact that, like, he's not really playing Jim Gordon, he's kind of playing Batman, it becomes totally okay as well. So it really is just like... Alfred's great. The whole cast is great. It's just a really ridiculously fun show that is quirky and weird on its own.
Young Bruce is solid.
Plus, I'll throw out there that, like, it's a show that filmed in New York and around New York, which gave it, like, a very different feel from anything else. So, good stuff.
I want to shout out Eric MCI's Gotham Was a Bag of Parts. That's so true. That's such a great hit on that. And Nat Towson, remember the Balloon Man? Wild episode. Approaching Doom Patrol levels of weirdness.
Yeah.
But I want to say off of that, has there been a bad Penguin in the any non-comic book presentation, movies and TV? Isn't that crazy?
That is
crazy. There's been everyone else.
Yeah, there's definitely been a bad Joker, for sure.
Yeah.
Bad Mr. Freeze.
Who's the bad Joker?
Oh, I know.
Think about it for like 1 second.
Suicide Squad, yep.
Yeah, no, you're right. That's interesting.
That's crazy. No bad Penguins. And they're wildly different, all of them. Mm-hmm. They're different shapes, sizes, vibes, words. Mm-hmm. It's nuts. And they're all, I think, all workable characters.
Yeah. Shall we move on to our number three pick?
Yeah.
Cool. Everybody good? All right. Here we go. Number three is for Pete, Watchmen, for Justin, Sweet Tooth, and for me, Superman and Lois.
We are different.
We are. How about we'll go in the opposite direction this time so I can talk about Superman and Lois. Earlier.
Yeah, which one is this?
I don't know. Probably about 10 minutes ago, I talked about the CW's Arrowverse and how there was too much stuff going on. Superman and Lois is the last one, and it's easily the most consistent and one of the best ones. It's a fantastic Superman show and a fantastic Lois show, per the name. This is the Arrowverse one that was on the CW beat with Tyler Hoechlin as Superman and Betsy Tulock as Lois.
Thank you.
Oh, my God. They went really hard with the show, just even in terms of the look. Like, they tried really hard to make it cinematic and not feel like they were filming in the same quarry and the same warehouse that they filmed every episode of every other CW show in. And it wasn't just the widescreen look, it was also the scope and the span of the show as well, because they had so many wild twists every single season. I remember just like jaw dropping multiple times, particularly in the first season, but every season they managed to hit you with something. Third season, if I remember correctly, there was an incredible cancer storyline with Lois that like made me cry multiple times, which is something that you don't get in a lot of other shows. I was very doubtful of the show going in, even though I liked both of them when they had appeared previously on Arrowverse. But this knocked it out of the park. Just a great, great Superman show that perfectly captured everything that Superman and Lois are all about.
And do you think it is like the sort of apex of CW superhero shows? Like all the lessons were learned throughout?
Yes, because it kept some of the CW-ness because it had the twins, it had the two kids that they had who were teens. So there's like this vestige of CW there that keeps it grounded in like, oh yeah, but also it's a teen drama at the same time. But whenever they focus on anything else, it feels elevated beyond that. It's something that's as good as any network drama. And I say this as somebody who loves the CW, misses it every day and wishes it would come back. But I also understand what it is at the same time. And I think it understood what it is. This is beyond all of those.
Do you think Riverdale was peak TV and we'll never achieve that again?
We'll never have anything like Riverdale again, but that's a different list.
Okay. That's a list where it's just 1-1-1 and it's all Riverdale. And we're like, that was crazy.
That was crazy.
Some people will be like Cody Melton's on the new season.
Charles Melton.
or sorry, Charles Mullen, is on a new season of Beef, and people are like, oh man, I love him. Where did I see him before? And like Riverdale. I was like, oh, I watched all of that. They're like, what? Like, yeah, I watched every episode. I talked
every
about it.
Fucking
people were like, why? And I was like, well, we had this podcast. It was actually one of the number, like the top three Riverdale podcasts. They're like, what?
I always feel, and I shouldn't, but whenever I see interviews with the Riverdale cast, every single time they get asked, why are we going so far afield here? They get asked about Riverdale, and the interviewers are all like, oh yeah, that got a little crazy. I stopped watching after season two, and in my head, like, we taped 150 episodes.
Also, you thought I got crazy in season two?
Grow up.
Yeah, get a
life. Go to bed.
Yeah. Go to bed.
Justin, you put Sweet Tooth at number three. I put it at number five. Why is it your number three?
Yeah. It's my number three, and I agree with all the things you said about it. Beautiful show. It feels like they, like another podcast I really enjoyed taping, we were at peak form in that. But this show, like, they were able to, it became more than the sum of its parts. Like, Gotham is a show of parts that sort of all sit on the table together, and you're like, oh, sort of cool. This show, like, blended all of this together, the TV-ness, the cinematic nature of the show, the way that
emotionality too, you were like so pulling for this kid and the big man to make it through, you know,
of course the comic book source material, and there was something that emerged that had a little bit of magic to it. I don't know how they did. There's an alchemy there. There's something. It has a sparkle to it that I think.
Are you talking about one of your favorite characters that would show up sometimes and you would lose your mind?
I like all the characters. What are you talking about?
No, he's talking about Bobby and he's talking about me. He's mixing up you and me. I loved Bobby.
Common, yeah.
Bobby.
Alex loves Bobby. Honestly, I was a little over Bobby by the
way. Yeah, me too. I was definitely over Bobby. Bobby,
Bellows, baby.
Bobby. Yeah.
Oh. I'll tell you what. Jim Mickle is directing the Gundam movie for Netflix. I guarantee you Bobby's going to show up in a Gundam, and it's going to be super.
Oh,
my
God. Are you going to die a happy man?
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm going to bury you in a Gundam casket.
There are only a couple shows. That is a crazy thing
thanks.
You said. That was a threat that would actually be a lot of work. Just so you know, Pete, you're going to have to back up that large a threat that's out of your skill set.
Yeah, also out of my price range, probably. Holy
definitely
crap.
That. Yeah. Definitely that. You're going to build a cardboard Gundam and shove Alex's corpse in it? Okay.
I'm sure his family would be cool with that, right?
No, you have 100%. To do it on the cover of Darkness after he's been buried. But
we wanted to bury him in a Voltron, not a Gundam.
Yeah. Pete shows up with a Gundam suit. I show up with a Voltron suit.
Like, oh.
So
close.
We both.
All right. Well, I shall split his corpse in half. No.
No, you bury him. Oh, Alex's family have so many questions about us. I was saying about Sweet Tooth, so many of these shows are trying to attain prestige TV status. And I think that what Sweet Tooth and a couple other shows do, they do actually achieve prestige TV from the comic book form.
Pete, you got Watchmen at number three.
Yeah, speaking of prestige, I mean, the casting on this HBO show, the episodes were just so deep and powerful and meaningful and just really blew me away, you know. So I was just really something that I think holds up and stands the test of the time. This show is award-winning and glorious, so it's definitely on my list.
It sure is.
It sure
all right,
is.
Let's move on to number two.
You didn't like it at all? Didn't like the
show? I'll be speaking on it soon, I believe.
Oh, we'll see. Okay.
We'll see. And so will Alex, I bet you.
We'll see what
happens. Well, no wonder you guys are quiet.
I don't know. Also, we like to let you talk about what you want to say rather than talking over you. But I don't know. We all have our own tendencies.
I famously never interrupted Pete.
Famously.
Yeah, take a drink every time Justin interrupts Pete. Good luck.
Oh, man.
Yeah, exactly. Stone sober yet again.
All right, here we go with number two. It is Pete's got Lucifer, Justin's got Preacher, and Alex, that's me, got the Penguin. Pete, you want to go first? Lucifer.
I knew you were leading. You
Holy
had the Penguin
shit.
All over that, you know, thing in the back. God damn it.
It was just, it was a large picture, so I put it in front. He's sitting down.
Yeah.
Yeah. I knew it was going to be in your top.
Alex playing faves.
Side note, you have been absent every week from my Photoshop class. You have to start coming or you're going to fail out.
Oh, man. I'd suck at Photoshop.
You know, it's very funny, Pete.
You wouldn't if you came to my class.
Great lesson. Pete, it's very funny. Besides Watchmen, your show is like Tracker for superheroes, and that literally tracks.
Yes. Yeah. And Pete, you want to talk about Lucifer, though? At the same time, I will mention Lucifer is a Vertigo character, so I don't think it counts either.
Oh, man.
Watchmen was a DC comic book? Yeah, I guess you're fine there.
Okay, great. Thank you. Yeah, Lucifer, you want to talk about amazing casting. This was just such a great show. Plus, I'm a sucker for the will they, won't they. And the Lucifer cop relationship was such a beautiful love story. And yeah, I kept coming back for that love story. It was such a great kind of stronghold throughout the whole series. But yeah, it became such a great show. It really found its stride and understood its characters. And it was a lovely love story as well. I am very moved by a lot of the episodes. So yeah, I think they did such a great job. And they tried to cancel it a couple times. They kept coming back because the fans loved it. And I was just a huge fan of the series and also the amazing casting.
Schreckler says the Lucifer what's her name was such a great love story. Could you remember the name of the character, Pete?
No, I won't.
I
bet you. Like, can I pull it? Because I got a picture of the character saying her name. Because he's always like,
"Oh, you have a picture of her saying her name."
No, I got a picture it. You know what I mean?
Wow, that's a hard way to remember names.
Yeah,
I never say my name.
I do have an honest question for you, Pete, and this is more about methodology, but. Mm-hmm. Do you think qualitatively Lucifer is a better show than Watchmen, Constantine, or Arrow, or are you ranking like your favorite shows?
Well, I just think that like Lucifer,
there's no wrong answer here. There's no
moved me more than, I mean, Watchmen was an amazing show, but I was, you know, I'm a sucker for rom-coms. So if you get a good, you know, couple in there, that's going to win me over. So Lucifer had that, and a detective is what he called her. He always just said detective. I'm trying to think of her name.
That's right. You have a second. And honestly, for anyone listening, if you think Pete makes any decision without considering what's closest to his giant beating heart, you're crazy. Like, everything he does is like, I love this the most. So definitely that.
Justin, you're all head meanwhile, so talk about Preacher at number two.
Yeah. I mean, Preacher was it's a big, bombastic show. I think I love all of the shows on my list. This show is uniquely itself. It is like, it stands alone in its own space, I think. And, you know, we've been watching The Boys airing currently. This show, The Boys wouldn't exist without without Preacher sort of creating the space in the culture for it. And I think The Boys is a better show, a show that I'm enjoying more. But Preacher has all of the pieces right there. I love the characters in this show. There's maybe the later seasons did things a couple more times than they needed to do them. But fun, surprising, irreverent, pushing the border. Love this show.
Also, I'd like to talk about Preacher and the fact of like, the comic is so famous and so great, and they tried to make Preacher a bunch of times and never could. And this show not only nailed it, but then took it and elevated it to its own thing. Like, really owned the characters and brought such nuance to the characters. Really just such an... And you want to talk about amazing casting. Oh, my God.
The fucking, great cast. Great main cast. Trio in here, for sure. And Penguin, I put that in as number two because I just think it is a pretty much perfect season of television that could have gone wrong in a million ways and instead went incredibly right. Colin Farrell is stunning as the Penguin. Kristen Milioti forms an iconic villain as well in this. And every episode, I was just dying to know what was going to happen next. It fleshed out the world of Gotham. You didn't need Batman in it at all to make it a good, compelling show. And it only made me more excited for the Batman Part 2, whenever that comes out. So,
a show that, a movie, Batman Part 2, at CinemaCon not mentioned.
I know, which is crazy.
Very, very strange.
We might get a Penguin Season 2 before we get Batman Part 2, which is the nuts part.
I mean, I think definitely. I think this movie, for whatever reason, they've just are slow playing it so hard, which is insane to me from a money-making perspective.
But this was great. Like we were talking about earlier, it's surprising that there's never been a bad Penguin, but it's true here too. Good characters, great crime story, beautifully shot, just an excellent show front to back.
I mean, if there's one quote to take away, it's show me a bad Penguin. Question mark from this show. But I want to say about the Penguin, like, this show had everything stacked against it. Everyone was like, after this show, to be like, it's going to be dumb. Mm-hmm. It's going to be unnecessary. It's going to be goofy. And man, talk about casting the two leads of this show. They just crushed. Colin Farrell, underneath all that goo, he was acting so hard, nailing it. And I forget the actor's name. Alex will say it right now.
Kristen Milioti.
Kristen Milioti. She's so good in this show from every frame she fills.
Yeah, and the supporting cast, too, was great. I'm forgetting the name of the character who played Penguin's mother, the actor who played Penguin's mother, but she was amazing as well. Just really, really good show. And I do hope they do more because I'd like to see more. And here we go. You guys ready for our number one pick?
Let's do it.
The top of the top.
$100. Alex and I are the same.
Ooh. I don't know. We'll see what happens. 3, 2, 1. There we go.
There it is.
$100. Pete with The Preacher, me and Justin both with Watchmen at number one. Justin, as we plan, let's say what we liked about Watchmen at the same time. Three, two, one.
The deep understanding.
Was in the Watchmen?
I don't know. I was trying to follow you and doing a bad job of it.
Oh, great. That's a hard game to play in real life, and let alone on the different lags on each of our individual streams coming into this stream. Pete, why don't you talk about Preacher first, because we just covered it.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it just unbelievable cast. Such a badass show. They took the comic, turned it up to 11. The violence, the voices, they just nailed all of it. It really felt like the comic came to life in the best possible way. And they just like really kind of felt like they took their time with everything. So it felt in great hands, and it felt like somebody who knew and understand the material was in charge. So it was such an easy watch. I wasn't nervous, like, oh God, are they going to fuck this up or whatever. It was just such a fun roller coaster ride of a show.
I think I said Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg, just to give them credit, like they are everywhere now. And this was the show, I think, where they became the TV like powerhouse that moved them into this new timeline when we're them. But I'm going to steal another point you made, Pete, because I think you're right about Preacher. It took the comic and just turned everything up. Like, everything was more vibrant. It's like it leapt off the page. And I would double down on that in talking about Watchmen as my number one pick and Alex's. Like, it took what was, again, a series that everyone's like, yeah, right. No way are you going to crush this. And what they did is they took it's like they smashed the comic with a hammer, boiled all the pieces down, and made something completely different from the core ideas, and it somehow worked. Like, absolutely elevated the material, put it in a more modern context, was able to take a comic book that wasn't really talking at all about race, and made and took those ideas and was able to make it about that in a way that was just breathtaking. Again, not to keep making about our podcast, but we've podcasted about so many of these shows. Our podcast about this is like one of the best things we've done, I think.
Yes.
Because we got into the deeper issues. We had guests on that helped us reframe a lot of our ideas while we were talking about them. Just, I think about this show all the time.
Yeah, it's a perfect season of television. Like you say, there's no reason that a sequel to Watchmen in TV form should have worked, but it absolutely did, expanding on the ideas of the comic, doing, not to slag something else off to build this up, but we talked about this a lot on the podcast, but where the film adapted the comic, and that's not what you should do because the comic is about comics. Here, this was a TV show about TV and the way TV is made and playing around with that form. You've also got an insane cast here. Everybody at the top of their game, from Jean Smart to is it Regina Gregory to Yahya Abdul-Mateen II, Jeremy Irons, Don Johnson being absolutely terrifying.
Yes, great.
God, Regina, it's so good, and it's something that, not unlike a lot of these shows, but I really think it has had more sticking power than pretty much anything that we've watched recently. It still gets talked about. It still gets brought up when you have, frankly, when you have masked ICE agents wandering around on the streets. All I see online is people being like, oh, that's like Watchmen and I hate it, you know?
Yeah.
So it's not that they weren't working off of things that pre-existed, but it is still a show that is eerily and upsettingly relevant to this very day and still has lessons and things to show us and teach us.
And one other thing to say, I agree with that completely. One other thing to say is it took, they were able to take the thing in comics where you see a panel or a page that is like indelible and stuck on your head. And they were able to do a TV version of that. Mm-hmm. Like when the dude is lubed up and he jumps and slides into the sewer grate.
Yes.
I was like, I'll never forget that. I think about that so much.
I do think about that a lot.
I think about doing it. I think about when something slips out of someone's hand. I'm like, oh, like that guy in the Watchmen. And I'm like, why is that an intense reference point for me?
Yeah,
something about that image has just broken it through into my core memories.
But like that, if I may jump over to Preacher a little bit, the Cassidy in Preacher was just so magical. There was such a come-to-life character in such a kind of magical way. It was, it just melted my brain. I wanted to see this character do everything, and it was just such a perfect combination of an idea and well executed by the actor that it just brought so many other things to life for me.
Well, there you go. There's our top five. These are mostly wildly different lists, though we do have some connections there, like multiple Preacher, multiple Sweet Tooth. Everybody has Watchmen. Shall we take a look at our top tens?
Yeah.
And talk about briefly, or Justin, you had...
I was going to ask you about Preacher not being at all a part of your top five. Maybe we'll see in the top ten.
I guess we'll see. Maybe revisit this. Yeah. All right, why don't we move on? I forget who I put first. Okay, it was Pete. There you go. Pete, want to talk about... I'll just read them off for anybody listening on the podcast. Number six, you've got Doom Patrol, 7, Peacemaker, 8, Legends of Tomorrow, 9, Gotham, and 10, Supergirl.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, yeah. I just... you know, we talked about Doom Patrol and how great it was. Peacemaker is such a wild ride to me. And not only do I laugh out loud with Peacemaker, Tim Meadows is unbelievable in this. There's just a silliness and a kind of fun that's insane that I think if you're going to kind of take a comic book and turn it into a TV show that I like. And also Legends of Tomorrow does such a great job with that as well. Like there was an episode where they were fighting like giant Furbies and it was a blast. You know, like they just... got it and we're kind of in on the joke of it and having so much fun with it that like Legends of Tomorrow for me, like they did an all Western episode. They did so many fun, cool episodes. Yeah. Yeah. Wild stuff, but great characters, amazing casting, you know, just great use. Also pulled people from Arrow, which was exciting.
Is Legend of Tomorrow the most TV superhero show of all time? The most like, let's just do this. Let's turn the, like old school TV, like where they would show and be like, all right, we have to do an episode today. What do we do?
Yeah, but they also talk, you know, kind of made modern references. But I agree with what you're saying. But I also think that like they made smarter choices.
When it got there, the first season is pretty bad because they're trying to be Avengers on a TV budget.
Sure.
And it just wasn't working. About halfway through season two, they hit that point that Gotham also hit where they're like, ah, screw it. Let's just do whatever we want. And they really leaned into it and it just became a totally different show, a much better show as well. And yes, they do have the, you can do anything on television vibe to it. But like Pete's saying, they really go there with some stuff that is very funny, very heartfelt. And the cast only gets better as it goes.
Yeah.
Pete, I'm shocked Peacemaker wasn't higher on your list.
Well, it was hard to kind of put stuff in front of it. You know what I mean? This other stuff, I mean, Preacher, Watchmen, Lucifer, these are all like really solid shows. You know, Peacemaker is new, and it's hard not to kind of take something that's new and fun and put it in front, but I got to kind of show respects to the other stuff.
My big thing about Peacemaker is first season, very good. Second season, I thought, pretty bad. So yes, on a 50-50 basis, I just didn't feel comfortable putting it on my list.
Same. It's interesting to me just like looking
but
at all this.
The third season's going to save it all, and then you're going to have to put it on your list.
They're not going to have one, but it could.
Also, I have my list goes past 10. Do I get to chill that off, or what's up with that?
I only put 10 for each of us.
How many do you have?
Just 14.
Oh, okay. I had like 20 or something. I could just...
Let me confess. I submitted 8 and was like, that's it. And Alex was like, we're doing 10. I was like, oh, okay. And I had a dig. I had a dig. Look at the tea leaves, though. Like, Pete, I feel like the comedic or the lighter nature of Peacemaker, Doom Patrol, Legends of Tomorrow trumped by the heartfelt nature of the ones on your top five.
Yeah. And I will say, as Schuykler mentions here, Pete loves Peacemaker because it's a rom-com and it does have Peacemaker and what's her name. And it's just beautiful.
Yeah, I agree. So my number 11 is Wonder
Woman. You haven't
even
said 9 or 10.
Okay.
Also, people are asking for your 15th.
Okay, well, I'll get there. I only made 14, but...
Do you want to talk about Gotham and/or Supergirl first?
I mean, we talked about Gotham. We talked about how great it was and some amazing casting, some great before they were famous stuff. And, yeah, it gets a little wonky in some seasons, but overall, I was really impressed with it. Especially the, Jim Gordon of it all, I thought was really great, kind of spotlight for Gotham. So,
and Supergirl, which we haven't talked about yet.
Supergirl, she was such a great Supergirl for me, and I love the cast, and her kind of like sister relationship was just really great. And, all the different kind of like different casting choices they made and different kind of relationship stuff was so great. Really dealt with family issues in such a cool way. A lot of just amazing kind of moments in Supergirl. Gets me in the feels a lot. It was a really emotionally intelligent show that I liked very much.
I'll just give a shout out to what we were talking about earlier. If you're going to watch anything, watch the first season of Supergirl, which is excellent. And it kind of goes off a cliff after that. But I watched all of them, so...
Okay, if I could just finish my list real quick, that'd be great.
Yeah, so, just run through it real quick.
Yeah. So Wonder Woman 75, I mean, the OG, that song just echoes in my ear. Anytime someone twirls around, I'm thinking, Wonder Woman.
How often is that happening?
you'd be surprised. But anyways, Linda Carter.
Linda Carter, epic. And he's constantly like, 12
unbelievable
for me,
actor.
12 for me, my princess.
She was glorious and an amazing person. Okay. Number 12, Sweet Tooth.
Was? She's still alive.
I meant for when she played the role. Anyways.
Yeah, R.I.P.
Number 13, Black Lightning. Number 14, Swamp Thing 90s, just because I grew up watching it. And I thought the actor who played Swamp Thing was really great and had a nice kind of soul and heart to him that I thought came through.
Hold on, I have more to say on that. Greater Good 42, what is 15 for you, Pete?
I don't. Like I said before, I don't have 15. I just made a list of 14.
Interesting.
It's crazy.
All right. Next up, I think I put myself. There we go. So at 6, I put...
Krypton, you.
Hold on. Don't jump ahead. I didn't jump ahead of you, so don't jump ahead. 6, Legends of Tomorrow. 7, iZombie. 8, Doom Patrol. 9, Flash. Not 2014. Yes. And 10, Krypton. So everything that we just said about Legends, don't need to repeat that. That was one that I kept switching in out of the top 5.
Really?
Only because of like that not particularly great first season, but man, it was so good when it was so good. Yeah. Like legitimately, every couple of years, I love it when the episode pops up where somebody's like, hey, did you know Gorilla Grodd attacked Barack Obama in college?
Yes.
And you're like, haha, that's very funny, until you realize that's also the episode where they need to travel back in time to the set of Lord of the Rings to get John Noble as John Noble to record a line of dialogue, because John Noble is also voicing the big bad of that season, and they need his voice to break into something or something like that. That show is crazy. It's great. iZombie is a great comic. This almost has nothing to do with the comic, the TV show. It goes in entirely different directions, but great cast, really fun, really good. Just like Rob Thomas mystery zombie series. Gave us, oh my God, what's her name? Rose McIver, who is excellent as the lead. Yes. The rest of the cast is really good as well. Just a really good, fun series that was well done. Doom Patrol, we already talked about. Flash, this is the one of the CW shows. I'm a Flash fan. I'm wearing a Flash hat right now.
I can't believe it's not higher up for you.
It got so bad. It got so bad, Justin. Like, so bad. Like,
yeah, but it had a lot of great seasons, though.
It got a lot of great seasons, and then it got really bad. Like, uncomfortably, awfully, like, please make this stop. I can't watch this anymore. Bad. And the cast was good throughout, but, like, first season is phenomenal. Yeah. Second and maybe third season are pretty good as well. There's some fun moments after that. But, man, when we're talking about, like, the sum total of something, it just... I can't rank it higher because it's just, it's not something where I'm like, yeah, watch all of this. It's definitely like, watch the first season and then think about what you want to do with your life. You know,
how many seasons were there?
Seven, eight, nine, holy something shit. Like that.
That's so crazy.
It's crazy. It's went on past the, well past the point where Grant Gustin was like, I'm done with this now. Yeah. I can do it.
He's a great Flash.
He's a great Flash. I'd be happy if they brought him back. That would be awesome. But
not as good as John Wesley Shipp.
John Wesley Shipp, also on the show.
Yes.
As Jay Garrick, and he was great as that.
Yeah, he was great in that.
And I had a really nice moment with Tom Cavanaugh at San Diego Comic-Con one year, so I have fond feelings about that as well.
I love him.
Yeah, though we were talking about Love Monkey on VH1, not The Flash. Anyway, and then 10, we got Krypton, which...
Controversial.
Here's the thing. That show went so much harder than it had to, and it got a lot of flack. This is another one that I also, before I was like, oh, come on, we don't really need to know about Superman's grandpa, everybody. That's not a necessary story to tell. But then when they had the twist of the first episode where it turns out it is part of continuity and it is affecting Superman's present in the past, Adam Strange is part of it.
Yes.
And like... a lot of the things that they did here were so much better than any other show on this list. Like, the Brainiac is awesome.
So
the
good.
Lobo is awesome. There was so much promise to this show, and sometimes it was a little wobbly, and the lead who played Segel was probably, like, not the greatest. He was, like, a Tom Welling in the middle of all of this, but, man, it hit hard.
Yes. I will speak more on that in a second. A lot of Tom Cavanaugh love in the chat, and I just wanted to shout out the TV show Ed, which I fucking loved when I was a kid. Great. Bowling alley lawyer. David Letterman producing. Very funny.
Yeah. All right, let's go to the last list, which is Justin's. Justin's number six is Krypton.
Yes, one thing. Come on, bro. What's up? Hold on,
Pete, calm down. Seven is Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman. Eight is Swamp Thing. Nine is Penguin. And 10 is Stargirl.
Come on.
Pete, Justin, take it away.
I mean, Krypton at six. Let's go, guys. That's why.
That's bullshit, dude.
I mean, Alex is just talking about it. And to speak on nobody it more, yes. Listening. Yes, there was a little bit of a hole at the center of the show, perhaps with our main character, our protagonist. But the world and the villains of this show was great. Yes, it was shot like you were playing Bond on the Super Nintendo a lot of the time, running through different rooms to find different things. But the rest of it was interesting and good, and I thought... for us, this is so much of superhero television is like, let's find a little corner we can set a show up in. And a lot of times they run out of ideas so quickly. And this show is like, we have so much more to tell you until everyone's like, no, you don't. You can stop talking anytime.
Can I make a guess about Lois and Clark?
Yes.
Is it that you like Dean Cain's politics?
Yes, a huge Dean Cain fan. No, I know Dean Cain. I'm not trying to hype Dean Cain.
Okay.
I know he's a bad person.
Doesn't seem that way, but all right.
I literally fight his politics on an almost daily basis in my life. But this show, this is the nostalgia factor of when this show came on, and from a rom-com factor, Pete, I feel like this had the rom-com superhero genre
this
mix.
This Lois and Clark was hot and heavy, dude. This was great.
Yes. It was something where I was like, I was watching it when I was like a teenager. I was like, oh my God, can they combine my interests harder than this right now on network television? Sunday nights, I believe, on ABC. It is. It was good. And there was still enough superhero stuff that... sorry, I'm interrupting myself. The progression between Flash and this, of like Flash, great superheroics, this... real relationships, it felt like. They had a real romance here, something that, you know, in the comics, their focus wasn't on that so much, and this leapt off the screen, I felt like, back then, the writing and the performances from the leads, including Dean Cain before he turned into a monster. And they still did stuff like Toy Man and stuff that was cool.
Yeah.
Swamp Thing, Pete said it a little bit. This show was like finding a comic book under like a seat in a bus, where it was like, what the hell is this? And you pick it up and start reading. You're like, this is enough for me on this bus ride.
Yeah, Nat, check your bus for comics, bro.
Always check under the seat for a random rogue comic. But this show, it was on the USA Network, so it was sort of like you were wandering already to find something to watch. Landed on something. They did so many episodes of this show.
Yeah,
I don't know how they made this. This dude, I think they shot it, I think, down south based on the environment. This dude was in a fully rubberized suit, absolutely miserable, playing Alec Holland, being stoic and gentle as he beat up the villains MacGyver style. The show was so MacGyver coded. He was like, just he'd step out of the swamp and like wrestle a dude, a day player, with a gun and throw him into the swamp. It was it hit the mark for me back then. On the other side of the spectrum, number nine, the pain.
Before you go on, I just wanted to give a quick shout out. This wasn't on my list, but I do want to give a shout out to the DC Universe Swamp Thing as well. I don't know if you guys watched that, but it started very bad and gruelingly boring, but by the time it was canceled and there's this whole thing with like the episodes getting shuffled around, it was gross. Like, it was gross and funny and like really actually good horror. So if you want to follow up Swamp Thing from the 90s with something else, try to find those episodes wherever they are, probably YouTube or something.
Yeah, I mean, that's when looking through this, I was like, oh, I never watched any of that, and I wonder if it was, like you're saying, if it hasn't set any of that spark, I would like to watch it. Stray Bully says it was shot in Louisiana. It's all, you could tell they shot forever in Louisiana there. It was must have been so cheap to shoot shit down there back then in the 90s. Of course they made like 60 episodes for the USA Television Network.
Justin, can I just interrupt and jump back real quick? Just shout out to Terry Hatcher and Lois and Clark. You know, we talked about the bad guy, but she was phenomenal in that.
Yeah.
Life-changing. Life-changing. Let's talk Penguin. We already talked about it. This is like the modern, just a modern excellent show that really was a mini-series. Like, a lot of these are ongoing series. That show, even though we may get a second season, that was a show that was like a chunk, that they were just doing that and getting out. And they played hard in that way. And then Stargirl, this is a little bit of a Homer pick Starman fan. I'm surprised this didn't make Pete's list over Supergirl, honestly, at the end, because of his love
for... Good cast, dude. Come on.
yes.
Come on, say it. Come on.
No, you love all of them. But I think this did capture, like, the youth side of the character, like, something we don't see a lot on any of our lists, really, like, is, like, a young comic book character, a young... really bringing the like that young readership into TV. I feel like most of these shows are going darker, and this show sort of went lighter in a way that I really liked. And
what was that kid? Was it Mikey? Was the brother?
Where's Mikey?
Yeah. Oh man, he was.
What's Mikey up to?
Yeah. All right, there we go. There are our top 10 lists. I do want to bring up, I know we mentioned this earlier, but the name changes says, no cartoons like Batman the Animated Series or Justice League Unlimited Teen Titans. This is only live action that we did here. I do think we should do a much harder animated list at some point, which is going to be even more excruciating than this one, other than the number one, of course. But this is just live action stuff. There you go. There's our top five and our top 10 of DC live action TV series. Thank you so much for tuning in. Let us know what your top five, top 10 are, either in the comments or you can shoot them an email. We can chat about it on Discord. Love to hear more. But hey, folks, we got more show after this, and we're going to move on to our next section, which is my favorite section because you make it up. It is your audience questions.
I love TV.
And for audience questions, all you got to do is drop a question in the comments. Can be about absolutely anything, and we will get to it. In the meantime, I'll mention that usually we have a drink created for the show by Brett Macris down at Shift in New Orleans. This week he brought back an old favorite, which was a Krypton drink, tying into the show. Delicioso.
Krypton, number six on the list.
Killing me, bro. You're killing me.
Yeah. Justin, what are you drinking?
I had a lovely glass of wine. Now we're over to Peroni.
Oh, look at you.
In honor of Super Mario Galaxy, a movie I saw this week.
Oh, yeah? You took your kids?
Okay, no, I went alone. Midnight
Mom. You know, we went to see Hoppers in Boston like a week or two ago in the middle of the day, me and the family, and there was one guy who had gotten a seat all the way in the back.
Nice. Yeah,
it was just him, and I realized halfway through that we ruined his day. Like, we absolutely did, because he left midway through to get something delivered to him, and I was like, oh, he just wanted to, like, watch Hoppers at 4 p.m. on by himself and get really high, and then this whole family came in.
Yeah.
And you drove all the way to Boston to see Hoppers, because Hoppers is
it's the best way to see it. Yeah, you got to see it in Boston. Boston
with a
Hoppers.
Hot bowl of chowder.
Hoppers.
Hoppers. They do the accent up there, all the characters.
They're like, oh, hey, I'm a BV. That was terrible. Pete, what are you drinking?
A little Lagunitas Daytime, you know what I mean? Drinking the daytime.
Yes. Ooh, notes from Vidal says, what are you most looking forward to tomorrow? Stay tuned for the end of the show. We always do that at the end of the show, so we definitely will mention that. Schreckler says, since there probably aren't enough for a top five, what are your favorite shows based on Image comics?
Invincible.
Invincible.
Tough pull. I mean, the list is growing. Let's be real. The Beauty, currently, just finished.
I'm hoping Battle Beast will get a spinoff, you know?
Yeah. I bet there's more than we think. Okay, wait. I have the... Oh, my God. There really are. All right. Here's what we got. Ready?
Walking Dead.
Oh, yeah. All the Walking Dead shows. Powers on the PlayStation Network, of course. Mm-hmm. Winona Earp. That was IDW, though. That was not an Image.
Yes, it's literally listed. I'm on the same list. It's listed. Outcast.
Happy. Deadly Class, of course.
Deadly Class. Oh, a show we very much enjoy.
Jupiter's Legacy. Man. Bad. Paper Girls. Yeah. Also kind of bad. The Chosen One. And Revival.
Let's remember that, like, Miller had that deal at Netflix.
Oh my God, there's a lot more. There was a Wildcats animated series. That's right. The Max, of course.
Oh yeah.
Savage Dragon, Todd McFarlane's Spawn, Battle Pope, Generator Rex. What is that even?
Wow, 60 episodes.
Super Dinosaur.
Oh yep. Yeah.
All right, so there's lots of stuff. Maybe we could do it.
Can you believe The Max was made? That was on television when
it was great
in '95 when we were like, mm-hmm. It was the perfect time to find that show. That's the thing, like finding something like that. I was like, what, 14 years old on MTV. I was like, what? How is this coming into me? How is this here for me? That I would watch The Max and then watch The State, the sketch comedy show.
Oh, wow.
The never better an hour of entertainment.
I watched Aeon Flux and then The Max.
Yeah, yeah. Because you were sort of into all that shit. The hypersexual.
Okay.
I would sneak over to my friend Marissa's house to watch The State because we didn't have real TV. We didn't have cable growing up.
Oh, wow.
So there you go. This is from Orlando Kelly Jr. Inspired by Pete's everlasting earnestness, what was a formative comic book series that defined your love of the medium?
Formative series.
I mean, it was the, you know, Hulk shouts love at the heart of an atom, where you know, he's shrunk down to this little world and then meets the love of his life?
Probably X-Men for me. I mean, that's the one, like, I was reading comics for a while before that, but it really wasn't until, I've talked about this a million times, but like the Mutant Massacre crossover, reading X-Men and then New Mutants, and I don't think I read X-Factor that much, but man, that sucked me in. Like, yeah. Particularly the X-Men stuff when I was like, oh my God, Kitty Pryde is intangible forever now? Yeah. This is terrible. How can they do this?
I mean, this is, for my answer, is a little more my experience in the actual comic. But when I was, like, younger than the Max was airing, over the summer, I would be up in the country, further in the country from where I grew up, where my family's from, in the woods. And we could walk, like, 3 miles to get to a store that had a spinner rack, gas station. We would walk that, pick up a couple comics. And so those comics are very formative. And those were the Marvel annuals back in the day. The Vibranium Vendetta, the Korvac Fantastic Four annual crossover with the Ultimate Nullifier. I was like, holy shit. And I, like, we would walk back on these, like, hot, blazing hot roads just reading these comics. I was like, wait till we walk home. We always walked nearly into traffic reading these comics as we walked. Love that medium.
Yeah. Almost died for it. Yeah. Also for me, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, so is Eastman and Laird, because, like, I was in on the joke, the, you know, like, oh, they were making fun of the hand by calling it the foot and that kind of stuff. I thought it was really just a kind of hilarious idea and well executed.
Straight Bullet said, what about Why the Last Man? You know, I thought about putting that on the
same list.
Alex
and I did a podcast that Pete took himself out of, I
think. Yes. And we didn't like it at the beginning. Like, we were pretty critical of it, but really turned around on that show by the end of the season, to the point that we had the showrunner on and had, she was listening to the podcast. We had a great chat with her.
It was. She was welcomed the criticism and, like, was sort of like, we had so much more to say with this show. And it was... There's a
great
pall over that interview for sure, but
That was a show that I was really bummed about because it was really still finding its voice by the end of the first season. But I don't think I would have put it on my top 5 or top 10 list just because it was slowly working its way towards something good. Nat says, what are your top 5 massive verse TV shows? Great question. Of course, Inferno Girl Red at number 5, Rogue Son at number 4. I can't believe they've had
Rogue Son at 4, Alex. Shocking. Wow.
I like the comic better than the TV show, of course. This is Brooklyn is asking, when are you going to come visit? This is a legit question for my 7-year-old son.
We are due for a visit.
I need a visit to New Orleans harder than any time in my life right now. 2 months into a 3-month stint solo parenting, which is actually worse than any other time in, because it's too far in and it's too far out. I've had a hard day's night with a million jobs I'm doing. So, yes, I need some straight Nolan sauce in my mouth.
Oh, man, that would be delicious.
Yeah,
hang in there, Justin.
The answer, Brooklyn, is we don't know, but we would all love to come down and visit you at some point. For sure.
Got to get another banh mi.
Oh, yeah. Extra jalapenos from my boy Pete.
No, thank you.
What a disaster that was.
All right. I guess I
really took a turn
for your audience questions.
Pete ate a jalapeno raw and got on the plane.
Sorry, ignore that.
What just happened?
We're a little loose tonight. That's what's going on. All right, we're going to move on with trivia. And for that, we're going to turn it over to Pete LePage.
Hey, this is the part we give back to you, the lovely audience. It's an opportunity to win $25 to Midtown Comics online, because why not spend some money on comics? You know what I mean? I mean, that's what we're here for. We're here to get you into comics because we enjoy it and think it's worth your time.
Great. Sounds good. I'll also mention that if you want to supplant trivia, we still have it open. If you could send us a video of you eating an entire New York-style slice of pepperoni pizza in 3 bites, we'll give you $25 for that.
Trace.
Also, there's a recent Frank Miller Batman cover where Batman's feet are over his shoulders. If you can send us a picture of you doing that pose that isn't photoshopped, also we'll give you $25.
That's good. Wow,
only once. I'm not going to do that multiple times.
Okay? Alex, I'm getting word from our lawyer, who is Pete, saying that's a liability issue.
Yeah, I don't think we can do that.
Yeah, it's fine. If they die, they die. You know, right, Pete? Right?
Yeah. That should get us out of any lawsuit.
Yes. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, I see this is a brave volunteer. If he dies, he dies, clause, so it's all right. Brandon Holder is doing it. Brandon, you are doing trivia. Pete.
Brandon, welcome. All right, today's trivia is about the comic Hulk Smashes Everything, and a small nod to the legend James Vanderbeek, RIP, and shouts out to Dawson's Creek. Mm. Here we go. Question number one. Who writes this great comic, Hulk Smash Everything? Is it A, Ryan North? B, can you get Robert away from me? C, Bobby Shu.
I see.
Bobby Shu.
There it is. I feel like that's a line from Sweet Tooth.
Yeah.
He's like, Shu.
He found a little shoe, like he's running around with just one tiny little shoe. And it's so cute. God,
Alex is crying.
I love him, but I miss him every day. Brandon, just drop your... Ooh, we got an answer here. Is it A?
A is correct. Nice job. All right.
Very nice.
Question number two. Who does the impressive art on this fun comic, Hulk Smash Everything? Is it A, Vincenzo Caruto? B, nice towel in front of your door. How do we keep missing this guy? It's like we were just grazing him with police. C, Matt Nicklaw.
Grazing him with police.
Long way around the barn for our page. It's been a couple weeks since you've done trivia. So.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
It might be more if we get that video of the pizza eating or the totally legal putting your feet over your head.
Oh, man. Oop, why are you doing that to
me? I missed it. A.
A is correct. That is correct. Yes. Here we go. Last one. Question number three. In the description of this series, it says Hulk questions if he's stronger than everything, including blank. Is it A, dinosaurs? B, no, not that Linda, my Linda, the one who rolls deep with an army of renowned warriors. C, Melinda Royer.
What?
Wow, you're getting into an interesting headspace. Are you microdosing?
Yeah. Super into it. You should check it out.
Yeah, no, it's starting
you,
to really
are
show
you
up.
Microplastics? Brandon says A is correct.
Yes.
Congratulations, Brandon. You have won a $25 gift card to Midtown Comics. Shoot us an email and we will get that off to you. Pete, what is the secret James Vanderbeek movie that you're paying tribute to?
Of course, we're talking about the 1999 movie Varsity Blues.
Varsity Blues. I don't want your life.
Yeah. And that's why we do it, folks, right there for that reaction.
I've done a tribute to that movie in a lot of conversations with my brother.
Yes. Oh, that's very touching.
Now, here's something we're going to pay tribute to is that new comic books are coming out tomorrow. What are you guys looking forward to? In stores.
Can I jump in here? I'm literally stealing this from Pete, but Headlopper number one is looking good. I love the idea that they have chosen to publish a larger volume for this.
Wow.
I've been getting into Headlopper as it's been going on. Pete has been singing its praises for a long time now, and God I just right. wanted to sneak a pick from my man Pete.
Oh, wow. You're going to be surprised when I tell you Absolute Wonder Woman 19. I mean, you got to be fucking kidding me if you're not reading this fucking comic. Are you serious? This is top tier quality fucking comics.
Wow.
And Infernal Hulk number 6. It's a blast and a half.
Uh-huh.
Great.
Not to spoil anything.
Justin, anything else?
Yes, I can pick some more. Sorry, was taken out of it by our guy Pete LePage. Amazing Spider-Man, closing the Goop saga, as we're calling it. I have just loved this. This I didn't expect this to be to hit as hard as it has, and they've been able to deliver the emotionality. We had a major character death in the last issue, and this issue is wrapping it up. Great cliffhanger at the end of the last issue as well. That I'm looking forward to. What's that? Looking forward to seeing how it's paid off.
Couple that I'll give a shout out to, looking forward to Exquisite Corpses number 12.
Oh, this series has been
really heating up, and this one is by James Tynion the IV and Michael Walsh.
JT4.
Created the show, created the series, so this should be a big one. Also really looking forward to Event Horizon Inferno number 1. Oh, Christian Ward knocked it out of the park with the prequel series that was so disgusting and so creepy. This is a legit sequel taking
place. I can't believe it's coming out so quickly.
Yeah, it's crazy.
The Event Horizon hive is out there.
Yeah, so that's very cool. And I'm also going to give a shout out to Cyclops number 3. We had Alex Bagdal on the show a couple of weeks ago at this point, and he's really passionate about the series, and so far I think he's really knocking it out of the park. Oh, speaking of friends of the show, Jordan Morris co-writes Spider-Versity that's out tomorrow, which I'm really looking forward to checking out as well. Now, before we wrap up here, as we mentioned at the top of the show, it's time to pay tribute to people who support us at patreon.com/comicbookclub. If Please you would hold. Like to... Hey, Pete, you don't have to keep talking. You can just scroll without the audio commentary Please while hold. I talk and cover what you're doing, right? You know, that I mean, maybe it'll work that way.
A
I
lot
don't know.
Of people produce their show off camera. We do a lot.
That's actually impossible to do with this because some people don't pick up the subtle hints. Anyway, once a month, we pay tribute to anybody who pledges at $5 and up. Of course, you can pledge any level, and that's awesome. It is really the only way we are able to keep the show going.
So thank you.
Let's give a shout out to folks kicking it off with Aaron C. Hollis,
Adam DeRose,
Adam Hinson,
Adam Marks,
Adriel Moreland,
Andrew Primo,
Andrew Tillman,
Ariel Grande.
Well, really talking each other up here. Astraveris,
Bad Guys,
Beercat PhD,
Bradley Hansen,
Brandon Holder,
Caleb Yolder,
Cameron Schrader,
Chad Breck,
Chad Post,
Charles Peppa,
Chen Smail,
Christina Runsfield,
Chris Terlizzi,
Clemens Luer,
Corey Shasher,
Corey Smoker,
Dakota Gannett,
whoops, Dan Snow,
Daniel Cabral,
Danny Heck,
Darren Tupots,
David McKay,
Dennis Scott,
Derek Mainhart,
Doug Sadaway,
Doug W,
Dylan LJ,
Eduardo Martinez,
Emmett M,
Enrique Chumbas,
Francis Holenkamp,
Gary Mayer,
Gary Ram Kaham,
Gerard DeVilliers,
Ian Rainey,
two of my favorite letters, JG,
Jake Fry,
James Connolly,
Jared Sloan,
Jaron Townsend,
Jason Donahue,
Jeffrey Whaley,
Joe Benton,
Joey Esposito,
John Henderson,
John Manuel,
Jonathan Jong,
Josh
Wright,
Kelby,
Kevin Kleinrock,
Kieran Broderick,
Lance Kaminsky,
Lee Hunt,
Luana Thomas,
Lucas Sink,
Mad Max Pliskin,
Mark Dispensa,
Mark Carilio,
So Nice, It's Matt Dice,
Matthew DePalma,
Matthew Schofield,
Matthew Taylor,
Max Baker,
Michael McAuliffe,
Michael Tillman,
Nathan Hall,
Nelson Kelso Martinez,
Nick G,
Nick Grayson,
Official CBC Chef Brett Macris,
Omnia Soul Art,
Aura Dix,
Orlando Kelly Jr.,
Oidis Larson,
Pedro A. Wrangel,
Provocative Ambulance,
I Worship at the Foot of Rev Mikey,
Robert Pettinato,
Roxanne Tyler,
shouts to my mom, Russ Burlingame,
shouts to my mom, Sam Lim,
shouts to Sarah Schottenmuller,
Saunter,
Scary Stuff Podcast,
Scott Carpenter,
Scott England,
Stanley,
Steve Cook,
Steve Hungsberg,
Super Sweet Shirt Company,
nice, Ooh. Taylor Bryan,
Watch Out, The Big Flood,
The 12 Badge,
Tom,
Troy Moulinot,
Victor Perez,
Will Buchanan,
Will Diaz,
William Leach,
Zachary Bachman,
Zachary M. Kopke,
and Zika's Viral Comics. Thank you all so much for your support. As mentioned, $2 and up, you can get a lot of great bonuses, like our very active, very fun Comic Book Club Discord. You get access to that. Also, our back catalog of podcasts going all the way back to 2011, many of which are no longer online. And if you go up the levels, you get a lot of other fun bonuses as well. Like I mentioned, ad-free podcasts and other things. And folks, that is it for this week's show. Nobody to thank this week, just us. Just thanking us. Let's
thank ourselves.
Yeah, let's thank the people who support us. So, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, we just did that, so we're good there. But we do have a guest on next week. Kirsten Gudsnuck is going to be here to talk about Dark Horse's Touched by a Demon, one of my favorite books that's coming out right now. So very excited to talk about that. Comic Book Club News, our daily news podcast coming out Monday through Friday, giving you the latest, greatest comic book news. Podvincible, our Invincible podcast, wrapping up tomorrow with season 4 in its own feed. Let's Hear It for the Boys, our Boys podcast, rolling out weekly. Marvel Vision, our Marvel podcast, talking about episodes of Daredevil Born Again. As mentioned, patreon.com/comicbookclub to support this show and all the shows we do. You can subscribe on Apple, Android, Spotify, or the app of your choice. Comic Book Club on Blue Sky, Comic Book Club Live on Instagram, TikTok, and Threads. ComicBookClubLive.com for this podcast and many more. Until next time, we'll see you at the Comic Book Club.
Good night, everybody.
Thanks. Take care of yourself out there. Special destiny. So grab your